Well, good morning. Lord's blessings to all of us as we're gathered. It's a joy to be with you all again. It seems like it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had this privilege to spend a Sunday morning with you, but it's a joy to be here. Just very grateful. Grateful to see brothers and sisters that love the Lord and faces that are shining. I sense the love of the Lord in our hearts here this morning. And even a couple of home folks that have joined us here as well. That's a joy. As I sat here listening to Brother Dan share, I sort of took that maybe the Lord was speaking to both of us at the same time. What you shared, Brother Dan, I believe is a good introduction for what the Lord is continuing. Thank you. For what the Lord is continuing to stir in my heart, and I trust it'll be a good continuation of the thought and heart that he was already sharing. I would like to maybe put the title on the board here. Wrestling Until Daybreak is a title that I have this morning. But before we get started, could we all kneel for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to gather this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, it's a wonderful name. You've said where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be in their midst. And so this morning, as we're gathered in Jesus' name, we ask that you would work in all of our hearts here. God, you know exactly where we are. We're all made of the same stuff. Lord, we have our weaknesses, our struggles, the things we're sorting through and trying to move forward in our personal life. And we ask, Lord, for help. We ask, God, that by your Holy Spirit, as the word is preached again this morning, you would use these things and help us, Lord. Give us strength and grace and meet us right where we are. And help us, Lord, that we would be created into the image of Christ. We'd be conformed to your image, O God. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless the preaching of the word. Thank you for your presence. And, Lord, help me to have a clear heart and mind and the ability to communicate what you've given. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to have two volunteers, if we could have mics, have two volunteers each read one verse. Who would read Jude chapter 1, verse 3? Have a volunteer for that. Yes, over here. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. And then the second one is going to be Luke chapter 13 in verse 24. Luke chapter, yes, up front here. These two scriptures specifically talk about moving forward and earnestly wrestling gives that thought. So, yes, go ahead over here with Brother, yes, Albie.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Earnestly contend for the faith. Thank you. Okay, over here, Luke 13, verse 24.
Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
Thank you. Strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. I would like to, maybe in the beginning, ask us a question. How many of you have had, or maybe presently have, either in the past or present, you have had things that God spoke to your heart and you sense something within that God wants you to move forward in? Have you had that? Raise your hand if you've had that. I think most of us have. We've faced something and we've had the Spirit of God come and put His finger on something in our life that He wants us to move forward in. Sometimes what He wants us to move forward in is simple. Sometimes it's going and confessing something. That's not always easy. But sometimes it's something that He wants to move forward in and wants to change our character. There's various things we sense God speaking to us. And when we sense that speaking to us, He wants a response from us. And those two scriptures that we had there speak into that. It talks about earnestly contending for the faith and striving to enter in at the straight gate. Now, I've entitled the message here, Wrestling Until the Day Break, or Until Daybreak, Until Early Morning, Wrestling Until That Time. And the title comes from Scripture, and we're going to speak about that in a bit here. But I'd like for us to just consider more closely some of the things that maybe even today God might be speaking to you and He wants you to move forward in. For some, it might be God is asking you to be more consistent in your quiet time. Have you ever struggled with that? A consistency in our quiet time. Maybe it's a relational struggle that you have between you and your spouse. Or maybe it's a relational struggle between a parent and a child, or sibling to sibling, or maybe a relational struggle between brothers and sisters in the church. And you sense that there's a need there and you know that God wants you to move forward in, and yet, I know sometimes you feel stuck. Maybe God has put His finger on an area in your life with things like gossip or slander. Maybe it's unnecessary words that God is putting His finger on an area of your life. Maybe there's sins of the mind that you're struggling with and you know God wants you to move forward in. Maybe it's worry or anxiety. Maybe there's wrong motives going on. Maybe you're doing some of the right things, but there's wrong motives deep in the heart. Maybe there's complaining. Maybe you're unthankful. Maybe there's envy and resentment. Or maybe you have an unteachable spirit. Maybe when there's conversation going on, or maybe some admonition, your heart isn't open for admonition. Or maybe there's pride. Or maybe you're one of those that's quite detailed and there's a lot of over planning and thoughts. Your thoughts just keep going and going throughout the day. You spend hours mentally arranging scenarios in your mind and you're worrying about the future rather than just simply trusting God. Maybe there's selective obedience going on. Maybe you're one of those that gladly obeys God in the big areas, like financial honesty and church attendance. But quietly, there's private areas where there's self-will. And where you spend free time doing things that you know God is not pleased. See, I don't know what God is putting his finger on in your heart. Maybe you're one of those that has a need to always be right. You know, when you're in a conversation, there's this, you know, something that rises up within you, and you always have to come out on top. Your story is always bigger. And sometimes God has put his finger on that area. Feeling an internal agitation or a strong urge to explain, to justify, or to defend your actions during a minor misunderstanding, rather than just trusting God for your reputation. Maybe you resent correction. Maybe you're one of those that avoids necessary conflict, refusing to be a brother to point out a fault in love, like it says in Matthew 18, because you hate tension, choosing a false surface level peace over true biblical accountability. I don't know what else God has been doing in the past in all of our hearts, but back home, we're some of those people that have real struggles. We just are. I'm not sure where you all are. Maybe you don't here. But back home, we're a bunch of people with real struggles that we face. And sometimes when we sense God wanting us to move forward, we find it difficult to continually press in and to get there. We find that. We find that. Now, I'd like for us to think a bit about the title here. I've entitled it, Wrestling Until the Day Break. Until the Day Breaks. Wrestling Until the Day Break. When I think of wrestling, I remember some years ago, There's some kind of a big event, and there's some of us that were gathered afterwards, and you know, most everyone was gone, and there's just a couple left. And I remember two young men, you know, they're tired from the day and everything, and yet you know how young men are, they have energy. I remember one saying to the other, hey, do you want to wrestle? I watched them. They tried to get the other into a place where the other couldn't move anymore. And you should have seen that struggle and that wrestle. You know, it seemed like as they were wrestling, there was squirming. And it was, you know, both of them were, I don't have much strength left in my arms and legs like I did when I was a young man. But you should have seen that wrestle going on. When the one was at the place where he thought he had the other one, you know, there's a bit of a squiggle and everything was, you know, loose and everything was gone again. And there was a wrestle going on and going on. And he kept on going. And he kept on going, wrestling until the day break. Now, this title comes from Jacob. And I have to admit, when I was preparing this sermon and in the whole preparation and I thought about Jacob in the whole wrestling, my mind went to things about Jacob and I thought about Jacob, and the things that came to my mind weren't all that good about Jacob. Jacob, in my mind, was sort of a medium man. He was one of those, can you help me? Tell me what Jacob did that we often think negatively about. He was a deceiver. He was known as a deceiver. When my mind went to Jacob, I was like, no. His walk with the Lord, I sort of put down here. But I'd like to take you through a bit of a journey that Jacob went that changed my mind about Jacob a bit. Scripture tells us that Jacob, he had gone to be with Laban. And when he was with Laban, he spent quite a number of years. He got his two wives, and he got the handmaids. And who can tell me how many sons he had? 11 at this point. Total of 12, but at this point, where I'm going to speak about, there was 11 sons. And God had told him that he should go back to his father. So he gathered his whole family together, and they were traveling to Jacob's homeland. And in that process of heading back to his homeland, he knew that his brother was going to be an opponent, and his brother was going to come and oppose him and try to kill him. That's why Jacob had fled. And so here he was, and it says that he came to the brook, and it says that he sent his wives, his children, and it says that all that he had, he sent them over the brook ahead of him to meet his brother. When he had sent them ahead of him, that night, Jacob was there beside the brook. And when he was there beside the brook that night, it says that someone came and they wrestled. It describes that person initially as a man, then it describes it as an angel, and it also describes it as meeting God. So it uses those three terms. Now, what's really inspiring to me as you read closely through that account is when there was this wrestling going on, it was actually the angel that said that when he saw that he prevailed not. It wasn't Jacob that was saying he wasn't prevailing. It was the angel that said when he saw that he prevailed not. There was something within Jacob that this wrestling was gone on to such an extent that the angel saw that he wasn't going to prevail. And then what did the angel do? Yes, he touched his thigh and he put his hip out of socket. Unbelievable. When the angel saw he wasn't going to prevail, there must have been a tremendous thing going on there with Jacob that night. And finally, the angel said, "Let me go." And what did Jacob say? "I won't let you go. I won't let you go unless you do what? Bless me." Now, that's quite something. He wrestled all night. He wrestled till the break of day. He wrestled. Now, I'm embarrassed when I think of that compared to myself, right? I'm embarrassed about that. And I think of the things that God has prompted me, and he wants me to move forward in my personal life in areas, and I look at what happened here with Jacob. I know there's areas that God might be speaking to you even this morning, or maybe this past week, or maybe the last 6 months. Maybe God has been speaking to you about a very specific area in your life. And here you are, some time later, and you don't know how to get on the other side. You don't know how to get on the other side. I would like to this morning, I'd like to share with you seven areas that Scripture talks about that assists us in this journey of getting on the other side, or of moving forward, or of helping us move on. And I'd like to just help that there would, or that we would find inspiration from men like Jacob. Even though he was known as a deceiver, there was something that was going on here that Jacob really loved God, and there was a pursuit after God and a seeking after God that puts me to shame. And there's seven areas I'd like to just talk about briefly this morning in our endeavor. When there's specific areas in our life that God wants us to move forward in. So, as the word is being preached, consider what that area might be in your life where God wants you to move forward in. Just consider that. Now, I do want to mention in Hosea chapter 12, it mentions Jacob here, and it mentions what happened. And I for a long time hadn't noticed this verse, but it describes what happened that night. So many years later, prophet Hosea, he spoke of Jacob, a long time before him, he spoke of him, and this is what he said in Hosea chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. It says, by his strength he had power with God. And then he goes on and says this. Yea, he had power over the angel, and he prevailed. It says that he wept. Jacob wept. He made supplication unto him. It says that he made supplication. It also says that he found him. He found God in Bethel. And it says that there he spake with us. So it's describing what happened there. He prevailed, he wept, he made supplication, and he found him in Bethel, and he spoke with him. That's amazing. Ultimately, on this journey of life, God has a desire that we become conformed into the image of Christ. Now, keep on going here. I know that everyone's tired because yesterday was a big day, right? Yesterday was a big day, the wedding and all that, so we're all tired. But if people fall asleep, then normally you find out what happens while Mark is preaching. So just... the first heading I would like to look at in looking at seven headings or seven ways that God uses us, or that God uses in this whole journey of us being conformed into the image of Christ. The first thing I'd like to look at is discipleship. There's seven things that God uses to help us in that journey. First one I'd like to just put out here is discipleship. If you consider the disciples of Jesus in the journey to bring them to where God could use them, Jesus had disciples that walked with him every day. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. He had 12 disciples. And his disciples, they looked to this person, to Jesus, and they daily, they learned from him. I like to suggest that there's times that there's brothers and sisters within the church who I'm going to say have grown in the faith, who have learned to walk with God and have come to a place of maturity, and God uses that influence, that discipleship, and it could be a sitting down and opening the Word and just sharing the things that God has done for me that helps us know how to move forward. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm not an old man by any means. But in this journey of life, one of the things that has happened is I've faced hard things. I've faced difficulties in my life. And there's things that God has used in the journey of my life to bring me to a more surrendered, broken, deeper walk with the Lord. There's things that God has done in my life. And in that journey, as all of us, you know, there's a whole, you know, there's a quite a number of older men here. In that journey, as we communicate with those who aren't in the faith that long, there's a discipleship that can happen. There's a sharing together, sometimes in a very methodical way, where there's times that you sit down and you just talk and you disciple a person and you help them see the things that are going on in their personal life and you help them move forward. It's called discipleship. Discipling, becoming like the Master, becoming like those like Christ and helping others along. Called discipleship. Imparting of yourself to another person. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said it this way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." Even as a nurse cherishes her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. But he uses a word, we were among you like a nurse. Now, if you look up that word nurse, and you do a bit of study, it gives the picture of a wet nurse. A wet nurse is a nurse who will take someone else's child, someone else's that's even not my own, and it will nurse, give milk, impart of her very self to this little child. Paul said, I was among you as a nurse, and I was imparting of myself to you. Discipleship. Giving of myself, actually imparting of myself to you. And so when we look at how to move from point A to point B, how, you know, we see this need in our life, and we know that God wants us to move forward, there's a place that we go to those who have obtained and have been able to attain in these areas, and we learn from them. We receive discipleship from others that point us on further to Christ. But we learn from them. In Acts chapter 18, in verse 26, the account is given of Aquila and Priscilla. There was a need And Aquila and Priscilla, they're quite the couple. When he talks about them, it talks about them both. And by the way, you ladies, you learn to walk beside your husband like this couple. You know, you've got some things going for you here. But this Aquila and Priscilla, they took Apollos, who was a very influential man, and they set him down. And they taught him, and they discipled him, and they helped him to see the fullness of the gospel and the fullness of the scripture, and expound it to him. And he embraced it, and he moved forward. Discipleship. Here's another heading. Accountability or giving account. Now, I'm just going to tell you a bit. It's something that happened to me some years back. There was things in my personal life that God wanted me to move forward in. God wanted me to be more consistent, specifically with fasting and more prayer time. It wasn't sin issues, but it was things that God wanted me to specifically to move forward in. And I clearly remember sitting, I'm not sure which it was first. I remember praying about it, or I remember praying and God bringing it to my mind. I also remember sitting under preaching and, you know, and the Spirit of God talking to me about it. I'm not sure which was first. But in this area of being more consistent with fasting. Now, you know, you all don't know me very well. But I'm one of those that loves to eat. You know, I don't enjoy coming home from work and my dear wife, she has all the food ready. And, you know, most of the family's gone. They're married, but there's, you know, two young ones at home, and she makes supper for us, and then I sit there and I don't eat. I hate that. I hate that. I don't enjoy that. And yet, for quite some time, God was prompting me to be more consistent in fasting and spend more time in fasting in a consistent way. Now, I'm embarrassed. I've all gone here. There was another thing he was also speaking to me about in the amount of time that I was spending in praying for the brotherhood. It wasn't that I wasn't praying, but I knew God wanted me to move forward, and there was specific time that I knew God was prompting me to, and specific amount of time with fasting. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It was around a year and a half till I got accomplished where I knew God was prompting me to go. I moved forward some, but not to where I knew God wanted me to go. And I'll just tell you what helped me. What helped me was when I became honest and I went to a brother and said, "Brother, God is wanting me to move forward here. And I need someone who I can give account to. Be open and confess where I am really at regularly." And I told him, I said, "I would like to every week give an account to you about my personal life in these areas that God wants me to move forward in." And then I became consistent. Now, I'm embarrassed to say that, but for a year and a half, God spoke to me. I moved forward, but not to where I knew He needed me to be. Now, for all of you, I know that you wouldn't be like me. If God speaks to you, you just move forward. I mean, if God speaks to you, you just move forward. But that's not how it was for me. Now, Scripture says this. I was too proud. I was too proud, too arrogant. I didn't want other people to know that God wanted me to move forward and I wasn't able to get there, But listen to this. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says these words. It says, confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed. And when I was just humble enough to just be open and say, hey, this is what I know God wants me to move forward in. When I was just humble enough, and even today, I give an account to various things in my life to another brother every week. I share with him. I give an account. And it helps me. It helps open confession of where things are going. And by the way, I'm the one that makes the move. He's not the one coming my way. I'm the one that goes to him and says, this is what happened this week. And then he'll respond back. On occasion, I might forget. But it's my responsibility to pursue that, not his. I'm the one that has a need. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. I need the prayers of brothers. I need that help. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says this, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Brothers, we need to exhort each other. How often? Daily. We're all faithful in that, right? Exhort one another daily. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says these words, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoking one another. Giving an account. It's just simply accountability or giving an account to each other. Here's another one. And number three, renewing of the mind. Now, how many of you have experienced a time when your mind was in a turmoil? Anyone? Oh, here. I'm normal then. I'm normal. Very good. We have experienced things when our mind was in a turmoil. Okay, I have the heading here as the renewing of the mind. I have had times when there's pressures and things that have come my way, or maybe I've had times when I was in an atmosphere where there was a lot of, I'm not sure how to describe it, but sometimes we're in an atmosphere where everything around us is anything but godly. You go to New York City or you go to various places, business stuff, and it seems like everything around me is just very, it's just wicked, and there's just a heaviness, and there's just, my mind is it's not clean. Scripture says this. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't become like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Many times when my mind is in a state of confusion, or when things come into my mind and my heart, and things just, there's just a confusion in there, I go to the Scriptures. And I read the Word of God. And I read one chapter. And I read another one. And then I take another one. And as a word comes into my heart and it comes into my mind, after a while, there's a freedom that comes. There's a washing that comes. And there's a renewing of my mind. Helps me to move from point A to point B. The renewing of the mind. When you're in a place like that, you can talk about it and help some. But there's a need for a renewing of the mind. That a mind gets renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Set your affection. Where are we to set our affection? On things above. Set your affection on things above. That's what we're doing. We're drawing nigh to God. We're allowing the Word to sanctify us. We're allowing the Word of God to come and renew us and wash us. Here's another one. A way to move from point A to point B. To move in the things that we find out that God is wanting us. We sense the Lord is wanting us to move forward. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. You know, sometimes we take it for granted that we're going about our duties, responsibilities, work, whatever it might be, and we sense a nudging that comes to our hearts about something. It might be just simply a nudging to have a conversation with someone. It might be a nudging about our personal life and something that God wants us to do something in our hearts. There's so many things. But this thing of learning to walk in the Spirit, I'm not talking about hearing from God on every little detail of life. Here recently, I had someone come to me and say, hey, I'm just trying to understand. When you use the term walking in the Spirit, describe to me what that is. Because he said, I go to work, then I ask him, should I do this and should I do this and should I do this over here and should I? And he said, I have a hard time always knowing what God is telling me to do. And I said, well, I have a bit of a different concept. When I use the term of walking in the Spirit, I view it a bit different. I ask God in the morning and throughout the day, I pray to God and say, God, would you please help me to walk in the Spirit today? Lord, move me, nudge me. And so I just have that prayer throughout the day. And it's not like I'm constantly saying, God, do you want me to do this? Or God, do you want me to do that? Okay, there are specific times when there's big decisions that we need to do that. But throughout the day, it's more of a sensing, God, please guide me. And so I'm throughout the day, I'm making choices and decisions and trying to be sensitive. And at the end of the day, I look back and I say, oh, unbelievable. God moved in those areas, and I didn't have this great revelation that 1, 2, 3, that God was saying 1, 2, 3. But at the end of the day, I look back and I say, God just worked all it out. Walking in the Spirit, sensing, nudging, sensitivity. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Anyone can finish that? They are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here's another one. Bringing every thought captive. There's a lot of things that this scripture, where it talks about bringing every thought captive, can be applied in. But I'm going to specifically maybe zero in on one area here this morning. How many of you have struggled with what I'm going to say, an oversensitive conscience, where it seemed like your sensitivity brought you into bondage? How many of you have struggled with some of that? Yes, I heard there's different ones. So what I'm going to share here, I'm just going to share about that, but it's much broader than that, okay? But we're specifically talking about bringing every thought captive. Now, one of our sons, here's some years back, he had gotten converted. He was doing well. Then all of a sudden, he started coming to me in the evenings, and he said, "Dad," he said, I did this, 2 weeks ago, and I'm trying to figure out if I need to go back and I need to make that right." And so we talked about that. And 3 days later, he came about something else very similar. "Dad, I said this, and I'm not sure if I was totally honest." And we talk about that. And I ask a question, "So were you trying to be deceitful?" "Well, no, but I'm not sure that I just... that I was just totally honest. Do I need to go back and make it right?" Anyhow, there's this journey, and what was happening is there was a condemnation that was actually Satan was using the sensitivity that was in his heart, and Satan was throwing that into his mind and bringing a confusion to where he was confused, that he wasn't able to discern simple things, and it brought tremendous amount of condemnation into his life, and it was so great that he just got stuck and bogged down. Anyhow, it was a journey of about 6 months, but I remember coming to the place where I told him, "Son, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done here." And I asked him the question, "Am I right that when these things come, it's not specifically a clear directive that, like the Spirit of God, it's not Him laying just some guidance and then you have peace, but it's bringing confusion and just a heaviness? He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, what's happening here is Satan is bringing confusion, and I'm going to ask that every time that this comes, you choose to not even think about it. Don't allow yourself to even try to figure it out." And he got tears in his eyes, and he said, "But Dad, what if it's the Spirit of God that's trying to talk to me?" And I said, "Well, son, we are discerning here that it's not the Spirit of God, and you need to just open yourself to be guided here. And Scripture here says that we should bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And so when these thoughts come, I'm going to ask you to just block them out, start singing a song, don't even let yourself go down that route. But when it comes, you just, this is what you do. And you bring every thought captive." And it was a bit of a journey. But 6 months later, we kept talking. If I say we kept talking, it was not uncommon for us to have 10 or 15 minutes every night. He just wanted to make sure he's doing the right thing. But 6 months later, he comes to me, tears running down his face. He said, "Dad," he said, "I've found a freedom. I've learned what's happening in my heart and mind. And when it's the Spirit of God and when it's just this confusion that's coming," he said, "God's helping me." Okay, listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, listen to this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those were strongholds that were going on in his heart, his mind. And then he goes on and says, casting down imaginations. Isn't that what was going on? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of women who have allowed themselves to fantasize about all kinds of things. Men do that more than what, or sisters do that more than what men do. The fantasizing, imagining yourself. And sometimes minds are unbridled and unchecked. Sometimes men and women's thoughts are out of control, and the things that are going on in the mind are so far from being in obedience to the honor and glory of God and the way that God wants us to think. Many sins start, most sins start in the mind by temptations that come into the mind, and our mind is unbridled and unchecked, undisciplined. And we're not bringing every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And number six, fasting. Fasting. I have, over the years, spoke with men. When I listen to their testimonies, they tell me a tremendous amount of struggle that they faced in bygone years. Major moral issues, major issues in their personal life. And ask them the question, so tell me about your journey a bit. What brought you to where you are? How did you move forward from point A to point B? And these are some of the things I hear. By the way, I'm not against going for help. I'm not against discipleship. I'm not against all these other things they're going on. I'm not against that. But sometimes there are deep-rooted things in the heart, and men try to find help through counseling and all kinds of things. There's a right place for some of those things. I don't want to just throw that away. But let me just tell you that fasting and praying does things in the heart that nothing else will. I keep hearing this. I talk to men and they say, well, he said, you know, I remember back there some of the major things that I faced. And I'm talking about major things. Things that affected people all around them in a major way. And this is what they say. Well, you know, I started fasting twice a week. And I made it, I just committed myself to seeking the Lord. And as week after week, as I fasted and sought God, I fasted and I sought God. And they say, you know, 6 months, a year went by, and all of a sudden I realized that the grip of those moral sins and when I would have this anger struggle and this, you know, all these things, you know, I wasn't able to get along with people and all, you know, my family was a wreck. All my children knew, you just don't talk to me about stuff. This is what they say. They say, after 6 months, a year of consistently 2 days a week fasting and seeking the Lord, there's something that God did in my heart that I look back at. All I can say, it's the work of God in my heart. You know, we're talking about moving from point A to point B. How to do that? Now listen to this. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, it says these words. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Amazing. That's pretty simple stuff. I don't like to fast. But, you know, with Jonah, at Nineveh, God had said that I'm going to destroy Nineveh. In 3 days, he was going to destroy Nineveh. And the king declared a fast. And I still look at that and I'm amazed. But the king declared a fast and he said, all the people of the city and all the animals are going to fast. And it wasn't only food. Normally when I fast, I don't eat food or sugars. But the king declared a fast and he said, no food and no water. For 3 days, no food and no water. And I can just imagine, I look at our children. And I remember when I had younger children and, they come to me and say, Dad, I'm hungry. I want to eat. And if you can just imagine a whole city for 3 days where no one ate, the animals didn't eat, and there's no water. And if you can just imagine the children, the cry that went to heaven, the animals, the cry that went to heaven. And God changed his mind because they were repenting. In many of these things, fasting, it's God changing our heart. And then God can help us. Verse 9 it says, then thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say, here am I. Now I have one more. I have one more here. Ask and ye shall receive. Now, Mark, do you have a minute to come up here and help me? I want to do an illustration here. Now, this last point here, ask and ye shall receive. And just stand here. Ask and ye shall receive. I'd like to first refer, the account of the widow with the unjust judge. That widow, she came to the judge time after time after time. And it seems like the judge is like this widow. Now we know that's not how God is. But in the whole context here with the widow and the unjust judge, in that context, the context is prayer. So leading up to this widow and unjust judge, the context is prayer. Talking about prayer. And so the widow comes over and over. And finally the unjust judge said, well, lest this widow weary me, I'm just going to give her what she's asking. Then he used that to say, keep on asking. That was the context. Just reading very quickly in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So that was the context. Now, I'd like to go on, and in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, ask and ye shall receive. Now, we don't believe that. Many people don't believe that. It says, ask and ye shall seek and ye shall knock and it shall be. Okay. But ask and ye shall receive, right? Now, I want to be clear when I say ask and ye shall receive. Nate here, Nate wants a brand new pickup. Are you shaking his head? No. Okay, Nate wants a brand new pickup. And he goes, God, would you please give me a pickup? Over here, Brother Steve, he's saying, God, would you help me to overcome this thing? I know you want me to change. God, I need your help to overcome. And Nate here, he's saying, I want a brand new pickup. Okay, so do you follow the difference? If we pray according to the will of God. All right, now some years back, we have seven sons. And we have seven sons and one daughter. And one of our sons, he would come to me like this. If he wanted my attention, and he wanted to talk to me, I could be at church or I could be somewhere, he'd do this. He'd take hold of my hand and he'd go, Dad. That was his way of getting my attention. It doesn't matter where I was. I could be in the Pizza Hut and walk in there and he'd go, Dad, is that bad music? But it was his way of getting my attention. But, it was very effective. And actually so much so that, I had to have some, I needed to give him some guidance. Because it was a bit on the much side. But he did a really good job at getting my attention. He would go, Dad. Okay. And he got my attention. But, all of those needs that you and I have, that we're trying to move from point A to point B, we come to God and, one time we go, Dad. And then, maybe a week later we might pray. But then we sort of let it go. But there's something about us coming to God over and over and over like that widow. And it's not that God doesn't want to give it to us, but somehow our heart is not at the place where God can readily do what he needs to do. And so he wants us to continue to ask and ask and ask. Ask and ye shall seek and ye shall knock and it shall be open unto you. But we don't believe that. If we believe it, we'd be doing that. And that's why there's people that when they get serious about moving forward, they'll pursue it. They'll pursue it. They'll pursue it. They'll ask and ask. They'll be, Dad. All right, you can go to sit down. Wrestling until the daybreak. God wants us. He wants to help us move from point A to point B. He's constantly, by His Holy Spirit, putting His fingers on issues in our life. And He wants us to move. And whose fault is it that we're not moving forward? It's our fault. Wrestling until the daybreak.